Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brody Fest, the podcast where we watch Adrian Brody movies so you don't have to. I am your host, Linnea Bullion, joined as always by my co-host, Amelia Barras. Hi, Amelia, how are you?
I'm doing excellently this afternoon. I've got nothing to complain about.
What a time to be alive. I love to hear that.
What a damn time to be alive, indeed, in my life.
Time to be alive. Amelia, what the frick did we watch this time around?
We did a lot of work for you people this week. We put in a lot of time for both of you.
For all three of you.
For both of you listeners out there. We watched an entire miniseries, two episodes, an hour and a half each, 3 hours we put in this week. Whew. Into the miniseries for the History Channel called Houdini, in which Adrian Brody plays Houdini. And the IMDb description of the movie is, follow the man behind the magic. As he finds fame, engages in espionage, battles spiritualists, and encounters the greatest names of the era, from U.S. presidents to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Gregory Rasputin.
I mean, I was telling Amelia, my notes, I went in hard for like 10 minutes and then just stopped. I gave up. I worked on photos while I had this on instead.
Yeah, it was really hard not to. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a History Channel show.
Right. That's true. I guess I wonder, had I known that, I don't think I knew that, I think I would have felt, no, I would have still been angry, but it would have made more sense, you know? Like, yeah. I will say, my first note is, oh boy, this is trying so hard. Is my
from
first
the moment it starts.
From the moment we get electric guitars, yeah. And it's just like, oh no, that's what this is gonna be.
It was electric guitar. It was like, it was almost like the movie 300, but Houdini, yeah. You know?
Yes.
Like from the very beginning, I was like, wow, okay, this is the direction that we're taking Houdini.
Yeah.
And so like we were able to watch it on Tubi, thank God, which I think is always a sign it's not excellent.
No. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be good. Did you think this was going to be good?
I don't know. I don't know. And I was excited at first because, like, at first, I was not excited. Like, going into Houdini, I was like, okay. You know, it's going to be basically just like showing us Houdini's life. But then when I sat down to watch and I saw that the episodes were titled Night One and Night Two, I thought, oh, cool. Maybe it's going to be like, you know, like the movie Jobs, the Steve Jobs movie, where it takes place over like a short period of time, but like with flashbacks to moments, you know, like I thought it was like going to be a cool format where it was going to be like, it takes place over like two nights of like a big show or whatever. Right. And then we were going to, you know, learn about his life through the context of that. But then I realized that, oh no, it's just night two of the miniseries and night
yeah.
Two of the series.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it was. Well, yeah. I mean, I wrote too, I said, is this the era of Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes? Oh, that was 2009 and this was 2014. So already it's like trying to be Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes, but 5 years too late.
Way too late.
Way too late. And I wrote like cringy mid-2000s steampunk era. Like you remember when steampunk was like such a vibe?
Yeah.
And like all the like fucking neckbeards were like, I'm really into steampunk. That's exactly what this miniseries is.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
I wrote guitar mixed in with strings, quick cuts, abusive slow-mo. Oh boy.
Abusive slow-mo.
Oh boy.
Also, could they have made it any more clear that what kills Houdini is a punch to the gut?
Oh my God, you guys. Well, and here's the thing. I left this movie with like so much less respect for Harry Houdini.
I it was just not cool to see him do the tricks. It's like, oh, okay, every time it's like immediately he takes out a hidden key and unlocks his, like,
yeah. Well, and just like as a person, he sucked. Or at least this, you know, this portrayal of him
may have sucked. Like, he played Houdini just very much like Adrian Brody. Like, it just very much, you know, he was just like, hey, I'm Harry Houdini.
I'm Harry Houdini. I got jacked for this role. Watch me shirtless all the time.
Right. No, because the most important thing in this movie, in this series, was the fact that Houdini dies from a punch to the gut. It is literally, like, every time anything happens to Houdini, he has flashbacks to getting punched in the gut. Like, the flashbacks to the future.
Well, and, but they're also trying to, they like fucking are hitting you over the head with this metaphor that, like, well, and this is the thing that bothers me. So anytime anything, like, any emotional beats happen, there's like a cut to him literally getting punched in the gut. But then he goes on to narrate, sometimes emotional things hurt more than a physical punch to the gut. And I'm like, yes. Yes, you just showed us that. We get it. You just showed us that. You don't need to fucking narrate it as well. Oh man. Filmmaking 101, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you showed it. The audience will definitely pick it up that's what you're saying right now.
Yeah. I do have to tell you, and Linnea knows this about me.
You loved it.
But you guys don't know this about me, is that I have a special relationship with magicians. Like, they love me, and I love them. Like, sexually.
Oh, my God. In case it's not explicitly clear, she means sexually.
Like, carnally. Like we want each other. Like, if I'm at a magician show, like, they're choosing me. I'm the special guest. Like, every time, I can't. It's just is true. And over and over again.
I just want to add back up to this. Amelia said this to me at one point, and I was like, yeah, sure, okay. Like, magicians like you, sure, right? And then we went to the Magic Castle, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah. Like, magicians love Amelia. There's like a magnet between them. I'm just saying, I can vouch. This is not just like Amelia saying this. This is an actual.
No, that's why I can say it so like matter-of-factly, because like I'm not worried about if I go to a magic show, oh my God, are they going to notice me? Like, they just have something. There is just something. They know that I respect the shit out. They can feel that I respect the shit out of what they do, and I, you know, can feel that they're into that, and like it's just like a beautiful kind of relationship. Yeah. Anyways,
symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, and it was just like, so of course I thought it was so hot when Houdini was like magician doing magician stuff, because you think of him as an escape artist, but it's all the same kind of, you know, reaction that they're looking to elicit from the audience, that like feeling of like wonder, of awe, of, you know, confusion, a spectacle. And so, you know, I thought Houdini was super hot. I thought he got hotter with age. I thought when he was gray, he was so hot. Nice.
Yeah, the salt and pepper worked. We like an older man on this pod.
And what I realized I really didn't like was learning how he did his tricks. Like, it was very disappointing, as it always is. It always is. Every time I learn how a magician does their trick, like, it's all gone. The spark is completely gone. And, like, that's how I felt with the Houdini moments. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, lame. Like,
yeah, just I can see that.
Lame to see him just... It's like, and it was like the same thing every time. It's like he unlocks whatever he's in, whether it's handcuffs or, you know, shackles or a
straight jacket, like all of it. Yeah.
Or chains, you know, I mean, it was just always like he'd hide it somewhere. Oh, there was that one cool time where he like hid the key in his throat.
I'm sure I didn't see it. I was very checked out for most of this. It was right in front of me. I won't lie. It was right in front of me, but I was retouching. I had some things to do.
Yeah.
3 hours. It's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time to put
Plus commercials, because Tubi has commercials. Which, God bless Tubi. I love Tubi. I will never say a disparaging word about Tubi yet, unless things change. But 3 hours is a lot of time to have commercials in. So, probably right. 3.5 with all the commercials.
Also, maybe you didn't watch this closely enough. I certainly didn't. But why did he have such a beef with spiritualists?
Okay.
And what are spiritualists?
Oh my God.
They can communicate with the dead?
Oh my God. You want me to get into spiritualism, Amelia?
Yes. What is it?
Okay. So spiritualism is an American religious movement following the Civil War. So basically, anytime there are great periods of turmoil, people tend to go towards religion in right. all sorts of ways, shapes, and forms. So after the Civil War, all these people lost loved ones left and right. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible period in American history. And spiritualism was a reaction to that. And basically, it was just a movement of people saying they could commune with the dead. So this is where kind of the start of like seance type things comes from, was from the spiritualism movement. So people would have these like parlors where you would come in and they would speak to your loved one. And again, especially in the wake of the Civil War, this was huge. People were just like clamoring for it. And at the end of the day, it was all smoke and mirrors. This was also around that time, the advent of photography. And so there were all these photographers learning tricks, camera tricks for how you could shoot a photo and use an old plate and make it look like there was a ghost in the frame with the person. Or if you had like wet cloth coming out of people's mouths, it looked like ectoplasm. So it was basically just a way to grift money from people mm-hmm. at the end of the day. I don't know that they particularly covered it well enough, but I think Houdini's whole thing was like, entertainment is one thing, and like, you know, I feel like his whole, I don't remember his exact energy towards like what he did versus what spiritualists did, but I think his whole thing was like, I entertain people, these people are like, spiritualists are taking advantage of the grief of others. Mm-hmm. And like that, I think, was a really big line in the sand he had to draw. So he had a big beef with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle because of their like differing opinions on spiritualism. And Houdini made a point of his life, as this goes into, that like for the entire latter half of his career, he went around proving to people why spiritualism was fake and showing like how they were doing all of their tricks. There were these famous sisters who could like knock. They claimed that they could communicate with the spirit who was knocking. And I believe it ended up being, I think Lucretia was the name of one of them. I'm forgetting this specific one, but I think what it was they could like knock their toes a certain way or something. Like there was something weird with how they were doing it, but they were kind of the first really, really big ones, I think, that became like a national sensation. And I believe ended up like dying in abject poverty and loneliness. But spiritualism.
After Houdini outed them?
I don't think it was necessarily that. I think like spiritualism, it gained popularity for a while and then just had, a long downward trajectory. Mm. I don't know if Houdini ever necessarily stopped them. I can't remember. But spiritualism is fascinating, is basically all I'll say about that. And you should go read about it or listen to a podcast about it. I think Criminal, the podcast Criminal, might have a couple episodes on spiritualism.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me feel like Houdini must have been really conflicted about his own career
yeah.
to feel such a strong need to go out and get these spiritualists. You know, I mean, like, he must have felt on some level like he really needed to differentiate himself from them, you know, and like...
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, I don't know. I think spiritualism is super fascinating as well, in part because of how icky it feels, right? I mean, in many ways, spiritualism to me feels the way that a lot of kind of like Eastern religions co-opted by the West feel post-pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Where people are looking for answers, they are looking for meaning, they are feeling lost, and the second you have someone come up and say, oh, I've got the solution for you, be it spiritualism or, you know, Eastern whatever, not that it's always Eastern, but I'm just saying as an example. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's some really fascinating psychological things at play there, especially, yeah, again, in relation to the fact that it's after these huge, huge periods of turmoil. I mean, I think that's the thing post-pandemic that is going to be so fascinating to watch. And, I mean, we already had it happening, but also look at kind of like far right and or kind of like red pill type energies is like, we're probably going to see an influx of that to a greater extent than we had even pre-pandemic, just because people are, mm-hmm, looking for answers. And yeah, we all just had an insane stress. And yeah. The Ouija board was originally a game and I believe was invented around... So it was invented during spiritualism. Mm-hmm. So in the 1890s, and it was because of spiritualism that's where the Ouija board came from, is like it was invented around then. And then spiritualists were like, oh, I'm going to use this thing to communicate with the spirits. So
interesting.
So here, the Ouija board was regarded as an innocent parlor game unrelated to the occult, until American spiritualist Pearl Curran popularized its use as a divining tool during World War I.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So what was the game if you're not trying to communicate with the dead?
I think it still was, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Any talking board. I think it still was, like, you'd talk to the spirits. Wait, hold on. It's very confusing what the original use was. History. Commercial parlor game. Sorry, we're live. I'm not going to cut this out. I'm live Googling right now, and I'm going to leave it in because I'm leaving for a trip tomorrow. I it's not really telling me exactly what it is, other than the fact that it's a talking board. So my guess is it was still like, you are like, oh, you're talking to spirits, but like, I don't think people really took it seriously until the spiritualists. Don't quote me on that, you guys. My 30-second Google search was that's all we got for right now.
That's all we got.
That's all we got for now. Anyway, yeah, read about spiritualism. Jamie Loftus did a podcast about spiritualism. And I was like, damn, I'm really jealous. I would love to just like record a podcast about spiritualism.
You got so excited at the opportunity to talk about spiritualism on this pod.
I mean, I don't know. It's weird. It's not often that new religions are invented in the United States, or they probably are pretty often, but it's not often they get a widespread foothold in the culture.
It didn't Mormonism start here?
Yeah. Mormonism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses are probably, I think, also a U.S. thing. But, like, spiritualism is not tied, as far as I know, it's not super tied to Christianity, which I think is interesting because, like, right, I feel like a lot of our religions that have kind of morphed here tend to be forms of Christianity, other than Scientology, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was just funny to me, like, that he beefed so hard with Arthur Conan Doyle, Houdini.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he beefed with him so hard.
I think that's maybe what the episode of Criminal was about. Or maybe I'm mixing up my podcast, but there, whatever episode I listened to, it was specifically, oh, you know, it might have been Noble Blood. And it was specifically about Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Like, what?
I mean, and according to the episode, they started out, you know, very, you know, respectful of each other, very, yeah, you know, like into each other's work. And
I think that is accurate, if I remember correctly, that they were like, yeah, okay, cool. And then it just got worse and worse. It just started corroding.
Well, you know, like Taylor Swift says, all of my enemies started out friends.
Really?
Yeah, that's what happens.
What a weird way to go through the world. I feel like, don't you think there's people you've just beefed with immediately?
No.
Oh.
I feel like the way that you get to beef with somebody, to care enough to beef, there has to have been care there in the first place.
Maybe I'm just overly sensitive. I feel like I've had it more reverse, where it's like I've had friends that started as enemies, and then I was like, wait, I'm being dumb. These people are dumb.
It was all in your head.
Yeah, probably.
You're like, I can just stop this.
Oh, this is dumb. Or it's like I, you know, made some dumb judgment of someone that was absolutely incorrect. Don't worry, this is probably more as I was a youth than now.
Yeah.
I've gotten
really much better at like not judging people and like giving everybody, like my fuse was much shorter when I was younger.
Yeah. I mean, time was shorter then, you know? Now we've got all this life that we've lived and we're like, eh.
And experience and wisdom.
So much wisdom.
Think of how wise we're going to be at 40.
Speak for yourself, my dude. No.
Hey, no, dude, you're already so wise.
I know, I'm just being mean to myself. Yeah. We're working on that. The royal we.
Yeah.
We're working on being nicer to ourselves.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be nicer to this movie. Listen to that segue. Hey.
Yeah, I did think it was cute how much Houdini loved his mom.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, it was pretty cute, I guess.
You know?
I don't know. I think it's because the story I knew about Houdini, right, was, again, that he was Mr. Anti-Spiritualism, and I was like, this is fascinating, and I'm kind of here for it. I don't know, maybe it's also, like, I watch a lot of YouTubers talking about, like, people's scams and stuff. I love watching scam YouTubers. So Houdini going after spiritualists feels of the same energy to me, I guess, which is what I like. But the story I know most about him is he told his wife, If I can communicate with you after death, I'm going to give you this special password that only you will know, and I will try and communicate with you. Like, this is the story I knew of them, was, like, he was going to try and communicate with her, and it never happened, right? And so in my head, you know, you fill in all the blanks for that, where I was like, oh, wow, like, it sounds like they had a lovely relationship, and he was going to try and contact her after death and disprove all the things he's been trying to prove because he's a science man and, you know, like, whatever. And then this whole movie was just him cheating on her. And I was like, oh, like, fuck.
Constantly,
just fucking other women left and right. And I was like, oh, man. Okay. And her, like, rightfully being like, I don't want to watch you kill yourself. And him being like, it's all I know how to do. You know, like.
But this is also, like, my thing, too, about these women that date these guys who have these careers that are very dangerous. It's like, who did you think you were dating? You know?
But the stakes did get higher and higher, right? Like, when they started dating, it was never...
It was just never, like, magic tricks.
Yeah, I think it wasn't quite as intense as it got later on. Right. So right. I can understand that being something hard to get used to.
Yeah, but it is always that old trope of the wife being the obstacle.
Yeah, oh yeah, fuck that. So annoying. I loved when he just got into airplanes all of a sudden. Because I was reading his Wikipedia page and it, like, talked about it, and I feel like right around when it talked about it was when the movie, it was just like, and then all of a sudden Houdini was in the airplanes.
That's how it all kind of, it all kind of felt like just kind of shoehorned together. And it definitely felt like they were like, we're going to go through the historical chapter on Houdini and we're going to film everything.
Everything.
He did. And we're going to put it in there.
I really wish it had been, I wish they, like,
there didn't really seem like there was a through line in the story, you know?
No. Well, and I think that's what they were trying to shoehorn with the gut punch thing, was like, oh, this is a man who is for some reason broken. I couldn't figure out that either. Like, why is it because he was made fun of as a kid and that's why he's still this angry now? Like, I don't know. It just like, but they never, like, they didn't flesh that out well enough. And then everything was so like, and then he did this, 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 and narration over all of it. And I was just like, okay.
Also, there were some outrageously bad performances in this. Like,
yeah,
the guy who played Houdini's second fiddle, that guy?
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but he, like, owned the magic shop, you know? He, like, joined up with Houdini and everything. That guy was so unbelievably bad in his role, because I've seen him in other things and he wasn't that bad, but he was going for something.
I didn't recognize him. He was like drugstore Jesse Plemons.
Yes. Yes.
Oh man.
It was,
I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird romp that I just, I couldn't really figure out what they were trying to say, I guess.
I don't think they were trying to say anything. I think they were just trying to show us Houdini's life.
Right. Which, again, why, you know, just give me a fucking documentary then. I don't know.
Yeah, an actual doc.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would have preferred that.
I definitely would have. I also wrote, I don't buy Brody in a period piece. I just don't, which is accurate for me. He's just like, I don't know. He feels so modern to me. It's hard to watch him. Especially, like, just jacked. He's, like, modern jacked in the 1800s. And I'm like, that's not how they looked back then. he, like, kind of had an accent for, like, the first couple scenes. And then never again.
Yeah.
Just never again.
Yeah, what kind of an accent was it?
Like, I thought it was, like, New York-ish.
I mean, he definitely tried to do New York the whole time.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just stopped even being able to hear it because I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, the moment that it started, I was like, why are we doing this? It's a TV show. We agreed not to do TV, and here we are sitting through an entire miniseries. How did we agree to this?
I mean, we both agreed to it.
We both agreed to it. It was like a very mutual decision.
Which I want to say too. So Amelia, do you remember the very first episode of this podcast? I think it was the very first episode that we talked about the fact that Adrian Brody loved magic as a child, and he was he was a little cute. So the first trivia is Adrian Brody had studied magic as a child and was able to perform most of his own stunts. And I'm like, what? Just okay, but that's not. Those feel like two different things, right? It's like card tricks and escaping from chains feel like two different things.
Right. And like, what was the, like, I mean, when they say most of his own stunts, like, for me, it's not crazy to like pull a card out of a deck and that be a stunt. Like, if he was really getting dunked into water upside down.
He might have been.
That's crazy. I would never, like, the whole time, every time I saw that, I just thought of all the water that would get in my ears.
Oh, God, terrible.
Just that's what would happen. Water would just go straight in my ears.
Straight. Right. Yeah, nothing really interesting here. I love this one. As of September 2014, this is US cable TV's most watched miniseries of 2014.
Of 2014. Again?
Like, imagine. I love that that's a trivia item. Yeah.
Of 2014.
I can believe that. 2014, this is the most watched miniseries of 2014.
Wait, as of when in 2014?
September 2014.
So that's not, so we don't even know if it is the most watched miniseries.
No.
Only there's a bunch of holiday special miniseries that I'm sure came out that probably got watched more than Houdini.
One can only guess. I mean, I feel like we can rate it now.
Yeah. I give it a 0.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a 0 as well.
Yeah, I just think a 0.
I mean, possibly 0.5. No, because it's like...
No, I think it's a 0, Linnea.
Yeah, we don't want you to watch it. It's a 0. You want to guess? We should start playing this, though you look at it, so maybe not. But you want to guess the IMDb rating for this? Don't look, just guess.
Oh, I thought you were asking our audience.
No, I'm asking you to guess. And she just starts Googling it.
4.3. 7.3.
In what world?
Listen, everybody loves a magician. Deep down. Everybody loves a magician.
I just like, people are really, really nice, I guess. What is CSI? Oh, CSI.
I think it's also a sign of how bad this was that, just in spite of my mad love for magicians, I still give this a 0.
And a lot of shirtless Adrian Brody. I was expecting you to be like, hubba hubba, sign me up for that.
Yeah, but Adrian Brody really didn't work for me in this period piece. He always just looked wrong in the clothing.
He did. I think the other thing too that someone, the trivia pointed out, Harry Houdini was 5'4". Adrian Brody is 6'1". So there's a stature difference as well, right there, that I think is interesting.
And that's like a short dude, you know? I mean, like, he should, like, they should have gotten a short guy to play.
They should have gotten Daniel Radcliffe at the tender young age of, like, 20.
I mean, they just should have made him short because it makes sense that you'd be an escape artist and be small.
You know? That does make sense. It checks out. The math checks out for that.
It makes it just makes it more believable, doable.
It just, oh man, I don't know. Another one that I'm like, ugh, get it behind me.
This next one looks like it's going to be interesting, Linnea.
Uh-oh. You always say that. And
I know. I go into it, you know, with an open mind, and it's always. Okay, so this movie, 2014 film called American Heist.
Oh, okay.
You know this?
No, I only know this because I Googled it, and I was like, oh shit, we're getting a Hayden Christensen, Adrian Brody movie. I can't fucking wait.
Okay. So the summary of this movie. James owes his life to his older brother, Frankie, after taking the rap for a crime they committed together. While Frankie served time, James worked to turn his life around, got a steady job, and began courting his former girlfriend, Emily. Now, Frankie is released and back on the streets with no money and no place to go.
I just want to say, I know you guys listening aren't going to be able to see this, but I just want Amelia, just look at that poster. Just look at it.
Of Brody with a gun on his shoulder, and then Hayden Christensen looking like he's lost.
Oh, God. Also, I do have to acknowledge, Adrian Brody is just, like, a very weird, like, an oddly proportioned man, and never have I seen it more apparent than in this poster, where, like, his shoulders are giant, and his teeny tiny little legs are coming out underneath him.
Also, just in terms of Hayden Christensen being a bad actor, I mean, look at his face in this poster. It's like he doesn't know where he is.
Poor Hayden Christensen.
Also, LOL Akon is in this movie.
I saw that. And Jordana Brewster, a little... Little Fast and the Furious moment,
yeah,
right?
She probably plays Emily, right? The girlfriend?
I would imagine.
There's
this, I feel like Hayden Christensen had this weird time period. Oh man, that would be the next pod. Oh my God, could you imagine? But Hayden Christensen had this weird time period.
Movies, we couldn't do that.
Yeah, we couldn't do it. but in like the mid around this, like the mid 2010s and onwards, I feel like he was in a lot of these kind of like gritty wannabe like heisty badass guy movies, and it's really funny because like he just never feels like he fits the role. Like, he's Canadian. The man is Canadian. I'm not going to buy him as a badass, you know? And it's just so funny because, like, what? There's another movie that has kind of, like, a similar energy to this. I'm trying to remember what it is. It was not Shattered Glass. Takers is the movie Takers. he was just in like such weird, like, from, I don't know, post Star Wars, he was in some really weird like action movies that just don't work. And in Takers, he's trying, he's supposedly playing this like badass member of this like robber gang essentially, and he's wearing a fedora the entire movie, and I was like, oh yeah, the mid-2000s were crazy.
Like
2008 was a crazy time when like Hollywood was trying to convince us that fedoras were cool.
We're back.
Yeah, which like, nah.
Well, and it was also just funny that whole time that they kept, Hollywood just kept shoving Hayden Christensen in our face and we're like, you like him. And it's like, we do not.
I definitely had a crush on him, but that's different than thinking he's a good actor.
Right. I thought he was hot for sure.
For but, sure.
Like, he's just such a bad actor.
He's also in one of my favorite movies of all time. And I can't say that without laughing because it is a movie called Little Italy. Have I talked about this on the pod yet?
You have not.
It is, it's a How Did This Get Made movie, as well as the YouTuber Drew Gooden has an episode about it, which is, when I went into anaphylactic shock, it was the video that I chose to watch to try and not feel like I was dying anymore as they injected epinephrine into me. spoiler alert, it didn't really work, the video that is, the epinephrine didn't work. But yeah, it's this movie called Little Italy, which is an Emma Stone, Hayden Christensen rom-com from like 2019.
I'm interested in that.
2018 maybe. With Hayden Christensen with dyed jet black hair doing a New York Italian accent.
Well, honey, you meant Emma Roberts.
What did I say? Oh, did I say Emma Stone? Oh my God. No, Emma Roberts. Very different
energy.
That's
more believable.
Very. Unbelievable. Yes. Sorry. Pardon me. Very different energy. I'm amazed I said that. I do not like Emma Roberts. and it was, it's just like one of those movies that's just comically ridiculous. If you like So Bad They're Good movies, it's pretty fun. And I want to stress as well, so it takes place in Little Italy. They're talking about the fact it's Little Italy. Amelia, what do you think when I say Little Italy? Where do you think?
New York.
It takes place in Toronto, Canada. The Little Italy of Toronto, Canada. It's bonkers. Yeah. I highly recommend it. Watch that instead of Houdini.
Yeah. If you're looking to watch a bad film, but be entertained.
Yeah. There's plenty of that. You can do that all over the internet. Just not with Houdini.
Just not with Houdini. Or any of the other films that we've watched. Just go back to our track list. And just stay away from all of those.
Yeah, pretty much all of them. Have we recommended a single? Well, Predators.
Yeah,
you know how I feel about Predators.
The Wes Anderson films, like Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, but people get that. You know, I feel like our audience is savvy enough to get it.
To know the difference between
the difference.
Grand Budapest and a Splice, if you will.
No, I mean Splice. Splice falls into a different category for me. Splice falls into a So Bad It's Good almost for me, even though I hate that movie.
I think we rated that one high on the negs.
I think we did as well. Like a negative five, maybe?
Yeah, or like, I feel like maybe even negative seven or something.
Wow, I don't remember it being that.
That movie blew my mind.
It's certainly more watchable.
Alien daughter.
It's more watchable than, which, spoiler alert.
We've already done an episode where we spoiled it.
Yeah, some people don't listen to every episode.
Well, that's their fault.
That is their fault. You should listen to it. I saw recently, I got a thing recently that someone downloaded all of our episodes. So to whoever that person was, Thank you. Shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
Big ups on the new fans.
Much love. Much
email
love.
Us.
Send us an email.
BrodyFest, not Quest. What? @gmail.com. Amelia's mother, Miss Barras, I never received your email. I'm so sorry. It didn't go to junk. I'm just curious. There might have been a typo.
BrodyFest@gmail.com.
Maybe. But in any case, please resend it. We would love to have it.
I would love to have it.
I'd love to get it. I don't know. Anything else, Amelia?
That's really all I have to add.
Yeah. I would say, just go, yeah, go read about spiritualism. Go listen to a podcast about spiritualism. It's a really fascinating time period in American history, and I recommend doing that instead of watching Houdini.
This miniseries, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be time much better spent.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everyone.
We love you. See you in a fortnight.
Bye.
Bye.
Adrian Brody.